Today's episode is brought to you by the Ohio Toy and Comic Show on
Sunday, July 23rd,
10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Fairborn Dayton, Ohio Inn. What's the address, Johnny?
2800 Presidential Drive, Fairborn, Ohio, 45324.
$2 admission, $12 year olds and under are free. Man, they're letting old kids in for free. Aaron, you got to charge
more. I was going to say, 12-year-olds, like, you know.
Man, that's like an adult.
That's puberty now, isn't it?
Anyway, so yeah, make sure you guys check out OhioToyAndComicShow.com. They're also on Facebook. You can get to all those links from their site. Check out their vendor list, their guest list. Your favorite podcast is listed on the guest list. So, you know, Bearded Beasts in the
I was going to say, the other one?
Yeah. So anyway, but yeah, so definitely look for that.
I was looking to see if my favorite podcast was on there, but.
All right, we'll see you guys there. Hey, this is episode 96 of the Infamous Podcast. We're four away from 100 episodes, and on this
episode... That should be the name of the episode.
We're four away from 100. Well, maybe. This week, we have a special guest. We actually have two special guests. One will be a surprise, but the first is Jay Torres is coming back to the show.
Yep, he'll join us later on.
We're going to talk about comics and making comics and his book, The Mighty Zodiac, and some other stuff, and hopefully we're going to get him to... spill the beans on the Mighty Zodiac 2.
Yeah.
But to kick it off, Johnny, we have some news bites.
Yeah.
A lot of cool stuff happened in the last 24 hours, really, of recording this. We got a surprise trailer for the Orville.
Yeah.
Which is the...
See my hand there? There you go.
The Orville. So I threw Johnny a coaster and
totally went on the floor.
Well, I wasn't even looking at you. I threw it with my left hand and I hit your microphone arm, which was that dong. Anyway, so the Orville is the Seth MacFarlane. I keep wanting to say Seth Green, but the Seth MacFarlane Galaxy Quest Star Trek-esque series coming to Fox.
A spoof. Yeah.
Yeah, it looks great.
Yeah.
Now we know where Adrian Pilecki is.
Yeah. Grimes.
Yeah, Scott Grimes showing up.
Yeah.
We're also going to talk about the trailer for The Gifted, and I have a feeling you and I probably have different reactions to this. We're going to talk comics with DC's Justice League Power Rangers crossover. Issues 5 and 6 may be canceled.
Yeah.
So you'll share more on that. There was a new trailer for War for the Planet of the Apes, which, again, I'm on blackout, so... But we can still talk about it. And then Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the Inhumans have been pushed to 2018.
Perhaps.
To me, that seems to make sense.
We'll just go with that one right off the bat.
So starting with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the way this season is wrapping up.
Yeah.
One,
is it over or does it still have
one more episode? One more episode. Tonight. So we're recording this on a Tuesday night.
Six behind.
So...
Which is okay for me because then I can just watch it like a movie.
Well, and the cool thing about this is for the first time since S.H.I.E.L.D. came on the air, they got rid of that Joss Whedon bullshit of just one season
long
story.
One arcing season, right.
Which,
yeah.
I'm sorry, but in this day and age of 13 episodes and 10 episodes on Netflix and, you know, 22 episode stories just don't work anymore.
Not really, no. There's too much filler.
Case in point, The Flash. But,
yeah.
Oh, God, this season has been... I mean, this season is like... Arrow season 4 bad, even Arrow season 3.
Wow,
or I don't know, Smallville season 10. Anyway,
which isn't as bad as Age of Ultron, but you know,
no, but still, but Age of Ultron was only 2 hours long.
2 hours that I will not.
Yeah. But so anyway, so Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Wait a minute. I've watched it 3 times. So 6 hours. Will never.
Over six. I think it's like 2 hours 15. So almost
then it's
8 hours.
Whole season.
Anyway. But no, S.H.I.E.L.D. has done this great thing where the first 8 to 10 episodes were the Ghost Rider story.
Yeah.
The second 6 episodes were
LMD.
The LMDs. And then the last.
I'm farther behind than I thought. Okay. Then because we didn't finish LMD yet.
Okay. And then the last five have been Hydra.
Yeah.
And the framework is what they
right,
call it.
Right. It's the what if so type story.
It is. And yeah.
Which is a cool idea for it, that show, especially because,
well,
you know,
and they have executed it to perfection.
Yeah.
Right. And
people have come back. And
there are like
people who've been dead for seasons have shown up.
So,
I have heard that.
Spoiler alert. There was a character that came back where I was like, yes. I like literally cheered.
Then they killed
him
again.
Anyway, I'm not going to spoil that.
I'm just saying, but, like, it would totally make sense that you're like a fan favorite character comes back. And dies.
Like, immediately.
Again.
Like, you see him and they kill him right there on the spot.
It's like, wait
he's
a minute.
He's like, hi, everybody. So, but no, S.H.I.E.L.D. has really done it well. If they're pushing this to 2018, I told you, my thoughts are it's going to tie into the Infinity War.
Sure.
And instead of doing what they did with Civil War or Winter Soldier in the first season, revealing Hydra.
Right.
Or Age of Ultron in the second season, you know, that
was that second season or third?
That's the second season.
Oh wow!
And with the helicarrier,
I don't even remember how many episodes, how many seasons there were at this point.
Right, but you know, instead of having to spin their wheels, they're going to tell a story that leads up to that much, much better.
Well, and if they shorten the season, they'll probably tell two stories because obviously that's worked.
Right.
People like it. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, even though I'm behind, I do read stuff.
Even if they did 18,
I don't want to be totally spoiled, but I read enough that I'm like, people are talking positively about
it. You should
be
excited for the rest of the season.
Right.
It has been, this has been the hands down the best season. And the Hydra
I enjoyed the Ghost Rider story. The Ghost Rider
story. The Ghost Rider
story
was awesome. And this, you know, the LMDs kind of got a little lost with itself. But
the problem with the LMD story is, and you know, from what I've watched of it, you don't have Doctor Doom.
Right.
You don't, like, your Nick Fury isn't there.
Right.
Because obviously Nick Fury is somewhere on Earth, but we don't know where. And it's like, without those two characters who are really known for the LMDs,
right,
it's not a story where you're like, oh, okay.
The LMD story served a great bridge.
Yeah,
between
it's
the
a
two.
Bridging episode.
Because, I mean, you've seen this, you know, Ghost Rider.
Right.
Comes back.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, and is obviously the LMD character. I can't remember her name. She's Madame Hydra in the What If story,
right?
Yeah. So, I mean, I read that.
But then
and
there's
I was
something
like, oh, that's
really,
a cool
really
idea.
Cool that, but,
right.
But then there's another cool idea.
There's twists.
That, again, ties back. It's a callback to the first part of it. So, like, in reality, it's been like a cohesive like timeline, but it's three very distinct
three stories.
Three stories
that tie together.
Three different
like
big
a
bads.
Comic book.
I know you don't watch The 100.
Yeah.
But the guy who's the king of Asgera, Rowan, is the bad guy. One of the bad guys.
Oh, okay.
For the second half of the season, both with the LMDs
and with the
like he goes all the way back to like early Coulson and May.
Okay.
Where, you know, it's really been
it ties
cool.
to the history of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yep. Yep.
And I mean, obviously with the what if story being, you know, it's what if the Winter Soldier story had went a different direction, right?
Right.
Kind of, but not.
No.
I mean, well, Hydra's in power.
Yeah, but there's a different reason
for
it, and it doesn't have anything to do with Bucky Barnes.
Right. So, I mean, but no, the Winter Soldier wasn't really the reason why that hole went down
the way it
did. But I mean, it's, you know, it's kind of the, if you did it as a what if, it's what if Hydra would have won.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's, I don't want to spoil
anything
for you.
I know, but I mean, that's what people were saying
enough.
In a non-spoiler way
enough,
is, you know, what if Hydra would have won kind of story.
So.
And it's like, that makes sense because I've seen pictures where I'm like, oh, yeah, you can tell who's fighting and who's joined Hydra. And it's like, you're like, okay, cool. You know?
Very cool. All right, cool.
And I mean, with the delay, that they're delaying Inhumans too,
as well.
And it makes sense because then perhaps the Inhumans will show up in Infinity War.
Yeah.
And or, that, I mean, you know.
It's a segue from the S.H.I.E.L.D. ending to.
Yeah.
Because Inhumans is only 8 episodes.
Right.
That's, we know for a fact.
They got a solid cast.
They do. And, you know, you saw that picture going around.
Yeah.
Like,
you know,
you're like me. You never judge it until you see them in action.
Right. That's what I'm like. The trailer they did, because they did a short trailer.
Right.
And it's literally Black Bolt's brother, who I can't remember the name of at the moment, talking about why Black Bolt isn't a good leader.
Right.
And it's like, this is going to be a good show just because it's going to be that family conflict type thing.
Well, it has to be that Game of Thrones-esque, you know, who's the king type of a thing.
Right.
And, you know, without that, it's just...
Well, and it's a story that's always been in the Inhumans book because, you know, Black Bolt is the king, but his brother always was like, you know, I could be a better king.
Yeah.
I'm very curious about how much money they're going to spend on Medusa's hair and Lockjaw.
Right. Well, Lockjaw will be a full CGI character, I'm assuming. Mm-hmm. So, and then because there's not a 3-ton dog out there.
We can make one. It's called genetics.
But, yeah. But yeah, Medusa was the one character that like I have the most reservations about the look because she looked like so much like Starfire.
Or does Starfire look like Medusa?
Well, I feel like they made Medusa look like Starfire.
Well, Medusa
with
in the comic always had the big hair. And, like,
and this
the
was
costume
the straight
like,
down. Like, yeah. It was so straight. Like, I don't know. Like, it should be wavy.
I'm curious to see where it goes.
And her hair was more orange than red. But
and I'm curious to see if the Watchers show up.
Yeah.
Because obviously the Watchers are in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah. So,
you know,
hopefully
so it's like,
that means
it'll be
we'll
interesting
see
to see if a Watcher shows up at some point.
Yep. But yeah, so just, I mean, good news.
Eight episodes is a good idea. Too.
I think eight episodes.
You spend
episodes
more money
perfect
on special effects. Yeah.
Well, and the first episode is going to open in IMAX theaters the week before.
Now
it's
it might
on
be
TV.
Delayed. I mean,
so
if the show's delayed, it might be delayed. Right. It was supposed to be September 1st.
Yeah.
So.
Well, maybe they'll still do it because they might be done with the pilot. Yeah. But,
that's cool.
All right, so moving on. The Orville.
Yeah.
Did you even know this was coming out?
No, I hadn't heard anything about it.
Like, I had heard rumors last year that Seth MacFarlane, not Seth Rogen, wanted to do... I'm just going to do that every time there's a Seth. Seth MacFarlane wanted to do a sci-fi series.
Yeah, sure.
And, man, does this look good.
Well, and Seth MacFarlane is a Star Trek fan.
Yeah.
So you look at this and you're like, yeah. It's like, this is definitely, like, you know, a spoof of Star Trek.
And you know, I
but when
say,
Adrian Padalecki showed up, I'm like, oh, this is going to be good.
I would say it's an homage more than a spoof.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But when she shows up and they're like, yeah, it's his ex-wife. It's like, oh, this
is going to be
great.
Even better.
So
and Victor Garber. Well, Victor Garber's in the preview, and I'm like,
he's obviously not
okay,
going to
cool
be on Legends coming back. Because so, well, he's one of the ones rumored to be leaving anyway.
Oh,
so,
really? Okay.
Yeah. Which I'm fine with.
Cool.
If
Robbie
they
A.
could
Mills
bring,
coming back?
If they could bring Robbie A. Mell back.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Because he's a scientist in this one.
Right.
You know, so he could do the science stuff, but, yeah, there hasn't been a lot of transmutation with Firestorm. Yeah. He just flies around and shoots fire out of his butt.
Yeah.
He's kind of like Braveheart.
Oh, wow. That was lightning bolts.
I know, but still. All right.
And that was not his arse.
But I will say... The special effects look really, really
good.
Yeah,
it looked really good. The
I
makeup
like the
effects.
Ship. The ship looks cool.
Yeah.
I like the cleanliness of the lines of everything, like on the bridge. And
well, and it's know like it's Star Trek without the seriousness.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, at one point...
It's Galaxy Quest.
When Victor... It could be Galaxy Quest, too. But, I mean, at one point when Victor Garber's, like, telling him, we're making you a captain, we have all these ships. We need people.
Yeah.
We need people to fill the seats.
Right.
And it's like... Well, that's not a very good qualification.
Thank you. I guess. So,
there's a lot of like jokes in the preview that are, you know, straight like Star Trek jokey stuff.
Just
and I'm like, that's
so
great.
I like the guy flying the shuttle and he's drinking a beer.
Yeah.
And he's like, it's 9:15 in the morning. Yeah.
So, and then he almost hits,
hits the ship. So, all right. So, next up is The Gifted, which is the X-Men-esque TV
it's X-Men.
Show. It's X-Men.
Yeah.
It's,
I mean, they mention the X-Men. They mention
they
Magneto.
Do. It's got Vampire Bill.
Which is ironic since his wife played Rogue.
Stephen Moyer. Is that how you say his last name?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and he's British, so he's doing another American accent, which I'll be
but
interested to
but it's not
to
that
see.
Southern.
Okay. Yeah,
it's not that Southern accent.
Okay.
She'll show up at some point now.
I'm sure
you
she
know
will.
She will.
And
as Rogue.
It's got the girl who was Adam Goldberg's first girlfriend on The Goldbergs as the female mutant.
Do you know who any of those mutants are?
No,
I mean,
I
couldn't identify
not.
Any
and
other powers.
I couldn't. I was trying. I watched it like 3 times.
And I don't know. Is there brothers and sisters besides North Star and his sister? I don't know of any brother-sister.
Well, P. Peter and Ileana.
Well, Peter and Ileana, so, yeah.
But when I hear X-Men TV series tied to the movies, right?
Mm-hmm. And I haven't finished Legion either, but supposedly that was tied to the movies too?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God, Legion was so bad. Like,
but if Legion was good, and this is the same kind of people
show that was
working.
Supposed to be the Hellfire Club.
Okay.
That then they said, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to do a younger
set. I don't think that would have been a good idea. Anyways.
I don't think so either, especially not on Fox.
Well, and it younger.
But that's my, that. So this is my worry, right? It's on Fox.
Okay.
Now, 20th Century
so
Fox.
So is the Orville.
Which is fine. But right. 20th Century Fox has done a really fair job with the X-Men movies. Some have been good. Some have been bad.
Right.
A couple of them are borderline great.
Right.
Like Logan was great.
Yeah.
I hate Wolverine. Logan was great.
Yeah.
That's the highest praise.
First Class is one of the great.
It's out now on digital HD. Go buy it.
First Class is probably in
First Class is
top five comic book movies.
It's my favorite of the X-Men movies.
Yeah.
Followed probably by Logan.
Okay. Wow.
Then Deadpool.
Bold statement.
Yeah. But then Apocalypse.
Now, how did you feel watching this preview?
I want to see more.
Yeah.
Because I want to see actual X-Men that we know.
Now, how did you feel?
I don't want to see Jubilee. I think you like this. You were probably more excited for this than I was.
I wouldn't say I was excited, but I was like, this could be interesting.
Because I was like, okay, that's a start, but
Jamie
I want
Chung
to see more. Yeah.
Isn't it too? And right. I was like, I like her, you know.
I just hope she's not Jubilee.
I don't think like, she is. She's
I hope
got Jubilee's, some kind of power. That's
I don't want
Jubilee's.
Jubilee in the series. Stop
well, she
trying
knocks
to make,
a guy. She literally yeah. knocks a guy, and it's
stop
like,
trying to make Jubilee a thing.
Yeah,
you know, in the comics right now, sometimes she's a vampire.
How
it's you, when they remember to write that she's a vampire. Like, what was it?
Oh, that's an editorial fault.
That
then.
Is an editorial yeah. fault for sure. But like, she's walking out in the sun with the little kid that she's raising.
Maybe
and
she's
like,
a special kind of
wait
vampire.
A second. She's not Blade.
Is she
she's
sparkling?
Not Daywalker. She doesn't. Well, she sparkles because. Well, no,
see?
She doesn't sparkle because she does not
see?
A mutant anymore.
She's not a mutant, but her sparkle so, power covered her skin, covered and now she's skin. A sparkly vampire.
Anyway, like, because if you look at House of M, all the cool X-Men kept their powers.
Well, sure.
And so Jubilee was like probably the highest profile one to lose her powers.
Yeah.
Because Jubilee sucks.
Oh.
I said it.
You
know, the X-Men are known for great female characters, and everybody's going to get a chance to see how awesome Danny Moonstar is when the New Mutants movie comes out next year.
Yeah.
But, man, stop making Jubilee a thing. If you guys want to throw your weight
did
behind
you hear
an
she's
awesome
in the New
female
Mutants
character.
Movie.
No, she's not. Anyway, like Kitty Pryde was an amazing, amazing X-Man. And, you know, they, for whatever reason, chose not to use her in the 90s. Cartoon and went
yeah,
with Jubilee
went with
instead.
Jubilee.
It's like, stop it. It's not a
well,
thing.
Wasn't Jubilee like more relevant at that point?
Nah, but kind of, you know, yeah. But like she still was never,
well, I mean,
but she was never like they tried a little to make her like Kitty Pryde was where
right.
she was the eyes that everyone got to see the
sure.
X-Men through. But at the end of the day, you know, I don't care if a mall baby eats chili fries.
Okay. Okay.
So, but I don't know. It's not like I won't watch an X-Men series.
Well, this looks compelling for the fact that the dad is hunting mutants
yeah.
and his kids are mutants.
Yeah. So.
And when they find out, and it's got Amy Acker in it.
It does
I'm
have
like,
Amy Acker, so.
You know, sold.
I do. She's my birthday buddy.
Yeah.
The same birthday.
I like Stephen Moyer. I liked him on.
I liked him too.
Yeah.
So what, he's in something else too that
he's shown up in a
really
few
liked.
Things where I'm like, he always is. Solid in his
okay.
acting.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's okay.
All right. He was at his best when he and her weren't together.
Together.
Yeah.
Season 1 and 2, Vampire Bill was great.
Yeah.
When they made him like the vampire god, it was like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Anyway. All right. DC Justice League Power Rangers. What's going on there?
I just read today before I came over that they're either delayed or canceled.
Is this because of low readership or quality? Or
I didn't see anything in the article, and it was one of those things where it just pretty much had popped up, and that yeah. it was on Bleeding Cool.
Okay.
This they may be delayed until the fall.
Okay, fair
and
enough.
And I don't know why.
Well, there's
I don't think they know why like either. That, they were just more talking about the story so far in that, which I've been picking up, but I haven't read it because I was going
right.
to pick up all yeah, six just watch issues.
All, read all six.
And now I'm like, so. Well, I guess I'll read the first four and maybe.
So, like I was doing that with.
Because number four comes out this week.
Right. Like, because I did that with Boldly Go.
Right.
Like, I read, like, the first seven came out. Yeah. I think that's an ongoing, but.
It's an ongoing, but it's one of those things
but
where.
But the first four issues are some of the best Star Trek comics
I have so many
ever.
Comics because I like to mm-hmm. buy them.
Right.
And But it's I don't read them until I read them yeah. in bulk.
Right.
And it's like, some things I do now wait for the trades, yeah. but, like, some things
I don't
I'm like
waiting
I
for
want,
trades
I
either,
want
so.
Them to yeah. keep. Publishing this right. book,
so I'm gonna make sure I yeah. buy a month.
And the idea of Justice League and the original Mighty Morphin yeah. Power Rangers was just a cool idea to
it
me.
It was. So I have the first one. I liked it.
Yeah,
I thought it was good. The art was okay.
I flipped through. I mean, yeah. I flipped through them all, but I'm like trying to avoid right. like reading them. And I'm like, now I'll probably just read the four and see yeah. what happens.
All right. And our last little bit of news bites is there's a new trailer for War for the Planet of the Apes,
mm-hmm.
which I'm on blackout duty. So.
But when Charlton Heston shows up, I mean, you know.
You damn dirty apes. But,
no,
yeah,
it's got a little bit more yeah. in it, but not enough to really, like, taint you.
Okay.
On, you know, what's coming.
You said taint.
I said taint. I know.
Sorry.
Irradiate you? I don't know. I mean, expose you?
You said expose. Anyway.
But, I mean, it was cool because it's got a little bit more of the action that's
yeah.
going on in it. I mean, I think apes are flying helicopters at some point.
Nice.
Which I'm like, yeah, this is going to be interesting.
Well, they are super
but
intelligent.
But
I
don't feel like this will be the last one.
Okay.
I mean, just because I think there is more story to tell on the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah. Well, they have to make, what, five?
Yeah, I think that if they have an idea of, yeah, we're going to end it, the end should be a remake of Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
And with it jumping ahead and it being Zira and Cornelius and Taylor.
And Mark Wahlberg.
And
Michael Clark Duncan.
Nope, he's dead.
Tim Burton.
Michael Clark Duncan's dead. You can't do it.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
They can just Tarkin or Leia him. And that's fine.
Or just put Ving Rhames.
Nah.
Big Rhames actually would be good.
He would be good too.
Yeah.
But yeah. No, I'm so excited for this movie.
Yeah, it looks
like
really
I don't
great.
Like I haven't read anything about it. I didn't even read the synopsis.
Right.
Like that's how excited I am.
But
for
when
this.
Charlton Heston shows
yeah,
up.
Yeah, so that'll be great.
There was a rumor and it was funny because I'm like, oh, we'll see if this rumor was true or not. There was a rumor going around that part of the voiceover for this preview was going to be Charlton Heston from Planet of the Apes. It was not in there.
Oh, okay.
I was like, that was the foggiest.
You know, if that was true, I probably would have looked it up.
Yeah, right now, that was the foggiest rumor ever. I mean, it just was, you know, a straight up like there's music because everything has to have a
yeah.
pop,
right.
A rock song or pop song or whatever
mm-hmm.
in it now in the background. But it's a lot of, you know, Caesar riding a horse, you know, at a quick pace, chasing
yeah.
people and, you know, Woody Harrelson eating up every scene he's in.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, it's like, yeah, it's like definitely worth looking forward to.
Cool. All right. So that's our last news bite. One thing I do want to say is the week we're recording this, Flash 22 comes out, which is the second half of The Button.
Oh, yeah. Did you see that announcement?
What?
The Doomsday Clock?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
So, but Johnny's going to go on vacation next week. So we have kind of an episode we already recorded.
Right.
But after that, we will do the second half of The Button.
Okay.
Because, yeah, we have
yeah.
to.
I still have to read the Batman issue.
It's been so good.
Kind of makes
we'll,
sense just to read
and
Batman
when we do
and Flash
that,
together.
Right. And then when we do that, we'll talk about the Doomsday Clock thing.
Yeah.
Because there are some things I definitely want to talk about.
Well,
and
there might be more released.
Yep.
I mean, it's cool that it's Geoff Johns coming back to write.
Yeah.
And Gary Frank doing
yep.
the art.
I'm excited. I'm
I'll
more
buy
excited.
It just to look at the pictures.
I'm more excited for Gary Frank than I am for Geoff Johns.
Gary Frank drawing The Watchmen?
Yeah.
I'm like, thank you. Thanks
All
for
right.
the treat.
All right. So that's our news bite. We're going to be right back. When we are, we'll have Jay Torres.
We're going to take a break for station identification.
And a fun special guest.
Yep.
All right. All right, and we're back. We have special guest with us, Jay Torres. Jay, how you doing?
Good, thanks. Good.
And oh, sorry, go ahead. I didn't mean to step on you.
No, it's okay. I'm just saying, good to be back.
Yeah, and you know, definitely we love having you back, and it's exciting. And then we have a special, special guest, my daughter Haley.
Hello.
And Haley is Jay's biggest fan. The Mighty Zodiac is a book Jay wrote, and is one of the first books she ever picked out on her own from the wall.
Oh, that's cool.
On a Wednesday or a Saturday when we happened to be in there when new comics came out. And so, Jay, your book spoke to her, and she read it twice in the car on the way home that day.
Oh, that's amazing.
And then every Wednesday for the next, 6 months?
6 months, yeah.
Did the next issue come out? Or when, I guess Oni was putting the date of the next one? Is it June 3rd yet?
Oh, nice.
So how much further till June 3rd? So one, thank you for getting a book that, you know, kept her reading. And two, thanks for doing something that made her annoy me even more.
Well, I guess I should say my pleasure, I guess. I'm not sure.
So, Haley, do you have anything you want to ask Jay? You know, dead air is not a good thing on a podcast, young lady.
I know.
So, well, why don't you ask him a question?
Who was the cat's dad?
Sorry, I didn't get the last part. Who was the
cat's dad?
The past.
The cat's dad.
Who was the cat's dad? Oh, you mean Co? Okay,
yeah.
So
yeah, use the cat.
We actually haven't explored that. Oh. I have, you know, this is, nobody else knows this, Haley. This is the first time anyone's hearing this. The answer is, I don't know.
There you go.
So the thing is, I never really, you know, went into a backstory for the characters. Some of them, no, that's not true. Some of the characters, I do have a pretty good backstory. Others are still sort of what we call unexplored. And about all we know of Co is that she was one of the students at a all cat dojo.
Okay.
Who were training to be the one to represent their tribe in the Zodiac. So we saw a bit of that in the story, and that's about all we know about Co's past, is that she was one of the students from that dojo, and she was the one that won the contest or the test or passed the test to become a member of the Zodiac.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, my pleasure.
All right, so thinking of the Zodiac and the animals, like where did the, you know, because I mean, like, obviously the story's done now, so we could talk a little more than we did about it the first time. Mm-hmm. Where did the, you know, the idea to use the Zodiac animals as, you know, ninja warriors come from?
The very first, I mean, the beginning or the very first seed of the idea came to me when I visited Korea for the first time. My wife is from South Korea, and shortly after we got married, we went to Korea to visit her side of the family. And of course, you know, you do all the touristy things, you go to museums and all that kind of stuff. And at one of the museums, I think it was called the Korean Folk Village, there was this circle of statues outside of the main building, and it was basically statues of the animals from the Chinese zodiac all in a circle facing inward, and it looked really cool from a distance. And once I got closer, it looked even more amazing, because there were these animals sort of kind of dressed up like warriors, but they're in very simple robes, but each of them was kind of leaning on a sword the way you know, the Oscar statue does.
Yeah.
And they were facing in a circle. And I was just fascinated by these statues, and I imagined them, you know, coming to life. Like, do you remember that old Gargoyles cartoon?
Yes.
Coming to life and having adventures in the middle of the night or whatever. So that's where the idea originated from. It took, several years after that to actually come up with a story and then come up with and it took a few more years after that to come up with characters and names and who they were. And, you know, as I just mentioned, some of them have backstories, some of them don't.
Yeah.
And, you know, came up with a plot to sort of introduce the entire cast and the world You know, using the falling stars and all that. I mean, that whole thing took about 5 or 6 years just to come up with and then finally put together. But the germ of the idea started with those statues. And the interesting thing is, on my next trip to Korea, maybe 2 years later, replicas of the very same statues were basically lined up all along this one terminal at the airport. But they were like 6 feet tall replicas this time. The originals were maybe about a meter tall, 3 feet tall or so.
Wow.
So obviously the, you know, those statues caught someone else's imagination and they suddenly became a thing. And whoever is in charge of tourism in Seoul in South Korea decided, let's make these giant versions of them, put them at the airport so that everybody, you know, can see them. So I took that as a sign of some kind.
Yeah, that's a sign that you need to write that book today.
Yeah. It's something about that. Yeah.
Cool. Jimmy.
Yeah, I just finished reading the trade today because I missed a few issues. So I was reading that story in the back. What he just said. Yeah. I like the idea that you were talking about the origins of certain characters, you know, and how you mentioned that the horse is kind of like a cowboy.
Yeah.
Like the way he talks and the way he acts is kind of like a cowboy. And I thought that's a cool idea to each of them have an origin that's, you know, kind of based on a different culture.
And yeah, and the thing about the horse, Mal, whose name is Mal, I think I needed for the first. This is gonna sound weird, but a lot of times, you know, when you're looking at movies or film or cartoons or anything that has a what you would consider a diverse cast.
Yeah.
Like the white character is usually the last one that you need to think about because there's always gonna be the white characters, right?
Right.
But in this case, I mean, they're not white. I mean, they're animals. But I'm thinking, you know, some kind of a Western English-speaking character. Because everybody else, for the most part, comes from somewhere in the Far East.
Right.
Parts of Asia, maybe the Middle East. And I thought it'd be fun to throw in someone with either a British accent or American accent. And so Mal ended up getting the quote-unquote American accent, the sort of, you know, sort of Old West kind of twangy, you know, speech,
right, like
from old cowboy movies and such. And Rong the rat ended up in my head sounding like Alan Rickman, so he got the British accent.
Totally. Yeah, I was totally like thinking he was British in that, the way he like kind of acted in that, and I was like, okay. Yeah. So I was wondering, the horse's name is Mal. Did you get that from like Silverado? Is a favorite movie of mine, and the Danny Glover character is actually named Mal.
I'm just glad you didn't say Firefly.
That was a total coincidence because I love Silverado, but I totally forgot about that character.
Yeah.
Name. But actually, if I'm not mistaken, and my wife will probably kill me, but I think I got Mal from the Korean word for horse.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Maybe. I can't remember now. It's been so long. And it's like if you notice, everyone has sort of a monosyllabic name. It's, you know, Ko and Tan and I just totally blanked on all my characters. So everyone's got like a one syllable name. So I tried to keep that sort of pattern. And I guess Mal just came up because I was thinking about, you know, different ways to say horse in different languages.
That's cool. Yeah.
Sounded the most American or whatever.
Yeah, that is the most American sounding name. Okay, so the moon rabbits. Is it just because we can all agree rabbits and bunnies are evil? Or was there something else there?
Actually, that came from just the whole idea that in Japan and maybe other cultures, I'm not 100% sure, they see a rabbit on the moon, whereas we see like a face, like the man on the moon.
I never thought about that.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. But in Japanese culture, they actually see a silhouette of a rabbit.
Oh, wow.
I kind of like that idea. And it came from that, just the whole notion that there's the shadowy looking, you know, spots on the moon that look like a rabbit to them.
Huh.
And one day I was going through, I was looking for artwork to put in my second son's room as we were setting up his baby room. This was like 5 years ago, 6 years ago. And I was looking for rabbits because he was going to be born in the year of the rabbit. And I found a print by a couple who go by Kozendan, something like that. And they did these rabbit prints where they would say take a cherry blossom tree, but if you look closely, the blossoms were actually little rabbits.
Oh wow! And, okay.
And they also did this one, which is a takeoff on that Hokusai wave, you know, the great wave. So instead of the frothiness or the froth on the wave, there were like these little rabbits if you look really closely.
That's cool.
I just thought that was such a cool concept. And I thought, what if that dark spot on the moon, you know, sort of transformed and sort of leapt off of the moon and came, you know, raining down on the earth, and we just had, you know, all these black rabbits raining down and stuff. And that was the invasion of the army. So that's where that came from, just that imagery.
That's cool.
And then I took it from there.
Yeah, Ren did such a great job with the rabbits coming down and breaking up and the little red line that ended up being their eyes. And yeah, that was really cool.
Yeah, I love that opening.
Did you have something else?
Yes. How did Master Long become a dragon if he didn't have all six stars?
Well, how snakes become dragons naturally is that they just have to live long enough and they have to accomplish certain things.
They had to train 1,000 warriors.
Right, training 1,000 warriors, you know, living 1,000 moons and all that kind of stuff. And what happened with Long is the reason why he didn't evolve into a dragon as quickly as he should have was because he kind of had a cancer inside of him, an illness, which was that darkness that we talked about. So in the very end, the only way that he could sort of step up his evolution was to swallow the stars, which would kind of give their power to him. So at the very end there, that's what happens. It kind of gives him a boost, kind of like a shot of vitamins or medicine or something that kind of gives them enough power to get rid of that darkness and for a very brief instance transform into a dragon before he finally becomes the blue dragon.
Okay, thank you for that.
You're so professional.
Good question.
So
same evolution with and forgive me, I forget the character's name, but the tiger eats a star and becomes the white tiger, which I love that piece with the turtle and explaining the turtle and the white tiger and the dragon and the phoenix. I was like, oh, I can see where you're going with that. And him blowing cold wind and all that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, so he's on his way. He's not quite there yet.
Right.
And definitely, you know, for the second volume or the second story, that'll be one of the plots, if not a subplot, is his transformation and what's going on with his body. Because for him, it's totally unnatural, and it wasn't something that was, you know, foretold or prophesized or anything like that. He just, you know, on the spur of the moment, he swallowed the star to take it away from the rabbits and not realizing what it would do to him. So that'll have consequences, and as well as the fact that there's another star still out there.
Yeah.
So the white tiger is going to be the bad guy. And
no.
I love him too much to make him turn that way.
He was definitely a fun character read. I mean, you definitely like got his character like really going in that. So yeah. I enjoyed him, and I enjoyed the horse and the snake.
If you guys ever saw the version of Aquaman on the Brave and the Bold cartoon, he was sort of my inspiration for Hulk in terms of how he spoke.
So oh, yeah, like, okay.
Kind of like a salty...
All the stories and
Like a salty, show-offy kind of pirate guy, except our, you know, Great Tiger Ho is more along the lines of a Sinbad type character.
He was braggadocious. Slumber.
Yeah, yeah.
Gets himself into trouble with porcupines.
Right.
So, all right, cool. So, you know, the Mighty Zodiac, it's out in trade. There's the number one being reprinted. There might be a Mighty Zodiac 2 in the future. Fingers crossed.
We're planning for it. It's just not sure when.
And will that be you working with Ren again?
Again, it'll have to... I hope so. It just depends on our schedules and when it happens, you know? Like right now, Rin's working on a new graphic novel for Oni.
Okay.
Her own thing. And depending on when I finish the story, then we'll kind of see from there.
Okay.
Yeah, I really liked her art. It was beautiful. I think that the printing I had was a little dark, but there was pages where I'm like, wow. You know, she really, like, conveyed an animal really well into that story.
Yeah, I think she did a great job.
The blue dragon.
Yeah.
That
well,
was
just
awesome.
Her dragons in general are amazing.
Yeah.
Two things. I think it's cool on the comics that it goes from Master Long into the blue dragon.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I was going to tell Johnny that it was Great Tiger Ho.
Great Tiger Ho?
So
you right. know all the characters' names?
Yes, most of them.
So Jay, she's had the comics out for about the last week, and she keeps doing the interconnecting covers. So just she'll set them up.
That was
and,
a great idea.
Them. Yeah, that was awesome.
I'm going to take credit for that. I didn't draw anything, but that was my idea.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
I didn't do any of that work, but it was my idea.
So is that a poster that we can buy? Is that interlocking picture?
You know what? That's a good question. I don't think we talked about it possibly as a promotional thing, but I don't think it ever happened. But I might try to do something with that.
Yeah, because that would be really cool.
Yeah, I think so. I'd love it on my wall, for sure.
A fabric scroll.
Oh
yeah, one of those things you see in Chinatown, right?
Exactly, yeah.
At a store or whatever, right.
All right, Jay, you got to get this done for us so we can buy it.
Yes, it's on my
more notes. All right, let's talk about BroBots 2.
Okay.
When's that one coming out?
It's slated for August. Okay. I believe the first or second week of August.
So and BroBots 1, that wasn't a Kickstarter, was it? I don't remember.
No, it was published by Oni.
That's
right. It was published by Oni. And it came out last spring.
Mm-hmm.
And the first print run sold out, so we had to reprint again for the recently. Actually, it just got reprinted recently. And then, so yeah, so that was BroBots and the Kaiju Kerfuffle.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next one is BroBots and the Mecha Malarkey, which is the August book. Yeah, I just love making up these.
That's a good title.
It's such a great all ages book. And, you know, I know I let you read it, Haley. And I think when it comes to all ages books, it's probably the one I've had the most fun reading.
Yeah.
Because I imagine them as Stifler and Ashton Kutcher from Dude, Where's My Car?
Oh, nice.
That's a new one. I haven't heard that one.
Because it's like, dude.
Well, the thing is, you know, the reason why Sean and I wanted to do the book is basically we were just going back to our childhood. But, you know, now you're filtering all of that stuff that we, you know, grew up loving, whether it's the, Voltron or the Power Rangers or all these different, you know, fairy tales and whatever. And there's also some video game influence in there. And we just wanted to kind of filter that through our nostalgic eyes and then come up with something that like my boys would like to read. And that's, you know, they were the initial inspiration for the BroBots.
Okay.
And so I was writing it for them, but Sean and I were also kind of, you know, writing it for ourselves. So there's a lot of like weird references here and there that the kids might not get, but, or, you know, bad jokes, whatever. But obviously we wanted to make it entertaining for the kids.
Yeah.
I think that's why older guys are sort of responding to it, because we totally wrote it for ourselves as well.
Wait a second. I'm not that old. I'm super old.
12 and up is older.
Yeah. And I love the art in that as well that Sean did with the like asymmetrical look at everything. And it kind of reminded me a little bit of Powerpuff Girls.
Oh yeah,
The city of Townsville and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, I mean Cartoon Network again, big influence on a lot of stuff that, you know. So there's a bit of, you know, the more contemporary, you know, there's a Powerpuff Girls influence, there's a Samurai Jack influence. That's sort of an older generation, I guess.
Have you watched the new Samurai Jack at all?
No, I'm saving it because I've got a 17-hour flight coming up.
Oh, so oh wow.
I wanted to save it for the flight and the trip back as well.
Nice. So yeah, totally I was gonna wait till it was done and just watch it at all, like in
watch the
one
whole
city.
Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was my plan for that too.
Yeah. I think that's the best way to do it. Cool. And so when will Robots 2 be out? I think you said that already, but
yeah,
just to reiterate.
August. Yeah. Sean just got his the first bound copy. I'm waiting for mine, so it's done. It just needs to get over here.
Yeah.
And get to Diamond and distribute to all the comic stores and bookstores.
Very cool.
Yeah. I have to read that one still.
You didn't read Robots yet?
No, I didn't get a chance.
I thought I gave it to you.
You might have.
Oh, okay. So I still have it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a quick read.
Yeah, the word bro is used
pretty much
100,000 times.
Yeah, the Mighty Zodiac, it was like I read it over the last 2 days, but I was kind of like going back and looking again. I think that's what slowed me down. I was just like, it's like the art just caught me, I guess.
Well, that's a good thing. I mean, I do that too. You know, even if I don't like the story, if I love the art, I'll just go back and just look at the stuff again and again. Yeah, I think that's one of the things that makes comics, you know, comics, right?
Oh yeah.
See, I'm the most atypical comic book person guy. I will suffer through bad art as long as the story's good. But if the story's bad, I won't even deal with great art.
Yeah.
See, I think I'm kind of the opposite. Is that weird for a writer? Like I'll buy a book if the art is great and I might not even bother with the story. Is that a weird thing for me to say?
No, not at all. I think that's being a comic book fan. It's kind of that way sometimes. There's people who love the writing. There's people who love the art. And then there's the middle of the road where it's like, I can read that story or I could just look at the pictures and I'm fine.
Right.
And that, I mean, I'm that kind of where I have like gone like Brian, right, where it's like, I'm just going to have to get through this art. It's like, man, that's really bad. And, you know, right, then there's ones where you're like, you know, the art's good, the story's good. And then there's some where it's just, they didn't have to put word balloons in this story.
Like Secret Empire 1.
Yeah.
And
which
zero.
I haven't read yet.
Like, I'm not interested in the story at all,
but
the book is
the
beautiful.
Pictures.
But it's like, I'm not going to bother with it. So.
Well, The Mighty Zodiac was both.
Yes.
Good story
and
good
so
art.
Robots.
Well, and it's just the thing where, and this is for you, Jay. Reading the story, I'm compelled to wanting to know more about what goes on their planet, and Adam about the tribes and how the government works and how everything else works, and that. And I think that's, you know, that's good story if you're like, I want to know what's going on here,
right.
And you know, I read in the back, you're a fan of Airbender, Last Airbender, and that, and it's like, it's definitely one of those things where volume 2, I hope we see more of what's going on in their world.
Right, right. Yeah, no, I totally hear you. I mean, that's part of the fun of this book, and a lot of my favorite books to work on is just the world building. And
yeah.
It's almost like, you know, it's not really the story in and of itself, but it's the stuff around it that's really interesting.
Yeah, and that's what I'm like. You know, with Oni, it's they give you the leeway, I guess, to tell that kind of story, be it in a graphic novel or in a 6 issues.
Right.
Yeah.
And
was your phone?
It was my phone. Yeah.
All right. So, Jay, some of the other things that we wanted to talk to you about was being a comic creator and everything that's kind of happening in comics lately. You know, we had the whole thing with X-Men Gold. You don't really have to go into that if you don't want to, but we have like these writers and artists who are stepping outside of what the mainstream, the big two, if you will,
mm-hmm,
really are looking for from their contractors. 'Cause I don't think they're actually employees anymore. But as an indie guy, do you feel like you're in the prime position to really say what you want to say, tell the stories you want to tell, and make any sort of political statement that you're interested in?
Well, see, the interesting thing is I'm very much interested in politics, maybe to a bit of a fault, especially since I'm Canadian and I watch American politics and pay attention to American politics maybe a little too much for my own good, for my own sanity. But I do feel that there needs to be, this is just my opinion, of course, separation between my work and my politics. Mm-hmm. Now, that's not to say I can't from time to time make a, you know, make some kind of a statement, but you know, I'm in the business of entertainment. I want things to be fun. You know, I do a lot of stuff for kids, and that's not to say they can't handle political themes or messages, but you know, at the end of the day, it's about entertaining. So right. All these sort of subversive little things in the background and trying to make statements, and I don't know, I just try to stay out of it. I don't know if you guys follow me on social media. I try really hard not to comment, even though sometimes it infuriates me. You know, I'll take it offline if a friend of mine says something that I find, you know, offensive or distasteful. I'll take it offline and I try. There was a time, you know, just before your last election, when there was just a lot of, you know, debating and discussing about the candidates and all that kind of stuff. And I kind of engaged in it, and I was almost every time I did, I was sorry.
Yeah.
So I kind of learned my lesson. And just before your election was our election for prime minister, our federal election. Mm-hmm. So I got into it then, you know, about a year earlier, and I didn't learn my lesson, and I got, you know, embroiled in the American politics stuff. So I just realized, you know what? There's not enough time in the day, you know, to be arguing with somebody that I don't know and have no influence over.
Right.
And you know, I could be writing comics or reading comics or
Truck Lover 82 isn't giving you the political discourse and conversation you're really looking for on Twitter, are they?
And I'm not going to mention any names, but I know you guys probably know there's this thing going on right now with like a particular creator and some of his followers just messing with some other guy,
mm-hmm.
and doing stuff offline that's, you know, affecting his life. And it's just like, why? And these guys are adults, right? And don't they have anything better to do? You know, like it's, I don't understand. I really don't understand it. I just don't.
I don't know. Like, I mean, we both follow comic book artists and writers and stuff. And, you know, there's certain ones who you see and they can't take any kind of criticism. And then when they are criticized, they just lash out and start blocking people. And like, you're not really a fan. And then the writer you're talking about, like, that's nonsense. It's 100% nonsense of what he's doing. And it takes away from, I think, the fandom as a whole.
Yeah, and it makes us look bad. I mean, like, we're all in this together as creators, right? And let's just say this ever got out into the mainstream media, people will start, I don't know, they'll start stereotyping us as some kind of weird vindictive trolls who have nothing better to do than
Russell
fan. I don't know. It just, there are better ways to spend your day.
Right.
Like, I don't know. Maybe the guy doesn't have enough work and his cronies don't have anything better to do, but for Pete's sakes, you know.
Right.
It's kind of like you have to edit yourself, you know, I think it's like you're free to say what you want, but do it in a way that's constructive, not destructive.
Right.
And a lot of, like, you know, there's a faction of artists and writers where you know they have that attitude, and it's like, if you don't want to deal with them, just block them. Take them off.
Just don't follow. Yeah.
Don't follow them, because, you know, I know it happened recently with an artist, a well-known artist too, where he said stuff and a well-known writer came back and said, hey, that's not right. And it became a public forum, but it was one that was more constructive than it was conflicting conflict. And that.
Yeah. I don't know. I suppose if someone that I knew said something offensive, I'd call them out, but I'd rather do it in private than openly. And I think social media, I think people, I'm hoping in about a decade from now, people will laugh at us.
Yeah.
Poorly reacted when social media first, you know, became a thing. I suppose, I don't know, I like to think that maybe when cars first became a thing, people were crashing all over the place, knowing what they're doing.
But, crashing into horses.
Yeah, just running over poor horses and cows and stuff. I don't know.
People found out gravity was a thing and just started jumping off buildings to see what would happen.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, you know, like you watch Mad Men and you laugh at some of the stuff they do, like letting your kids play with, you know, put plastic bags over their heads.
Yeah.
Move around in the car from front seat to back seat, no seatbelts. You know, that kind of stuff. We laugh at it now because, you know.
I did that kind of stuff. I remember that.
Right. Or basically we know, quote unquote, we know better now. Right. And they're always smoking and.
Oh, yeah.
You know, most of those guys are probably going to end up with lung cancer or liver issues. So anyway, we know better. So I'm hoping in 10 years or maybe sooner, we look back and we'll, you know, see all this craziness on social media and this really bad behavior. And we'll, you know, we'll be able to laugh at it and say, wow, people used to send each other pictures of their genitalia. What is that about, you know?
See, I feel like Mike Judge was a senior or a seer with Idiocracy, and that's where we're headed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is makes me really, really sad. But, like, to your point, Johnny and I, like, I know you feel the same way, but, like, I put my name on everything I say. So if it's something I wouldn't say out loud to someone face-to-face,
right,
I wouldn't put it on social media. And that's why, you know, everything is my name first and last. When it's the podcast, my name is attached to it.
Right.
And, like, Johnny's name's attached to it as well, so I consider that before I post anything. But, yeah, I think there's so many writers and artists right now who are trying to be overly political that it's taking away.
Mm-hmm. They're trying to be celebrities.
Yeah.
Is what they're trying to be. And
internet,
like,
famous.
You know, not being mean or anything, but you're a writer, you're an artist. And it's like, if you want to be known, go write a novel or something that's going to be like New York Times. And that, don't just like stomp on people because you want to get, make them angry, and then your name gets out there. I don't know. I mean, you know, for the early years that I collected comics, I didn't know a lot of writers or artists' names. And it's like, I just enjoyed what they were saying. Sure. And that, and you know, as I got older, it's like you learn who they are and what they're doing.
Yeah, yeah, it's interesting. I mean, the whole thing with social media and the internet, you know, growing up, we all read comics, mm-hmm. whether we knew the artist's names or the writer's names or not. We definitely did not know anything about their politics.
No.
No.
And then you get older, obviously, and you may do some reading outside of the comics, whether it's magazines, newspapers, whatever, and learn about some of the artist's politics.
Wait, there's other things to read than comic books?
And I don't know if, you know, that would have swayed me one way or the other. Do you know what I mean? Like, if I would have read the stuff or not. But now we know everything. Like, I can tell you, for example, what Judd Winnick had for lunch today. You know,
what did Judd Winnick have for lunch today?
Peanut butter that Puck put his finger in.
Ooh, ooh. And,
I'm so old. I don't even. San Francisco Real World season 2. Look it up. Or season 3, sorry. Season 2 was L.A.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I totally forgot that.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. You know, I mean, like reality TV. Just, you know, everybody that's on YouTube. We know too much. I think there's such thing as TMI, too much information, and that's like the theme of the decade.
Yeah.
I only share information with people I really want to know information.
So Johnny does this thing where whenever he watches a movie, he posts on Facebook that he's watching the movie. And I'm really looking forward to like 4 years from now on Facebook with like time hop. It's like Johnny's memory of watching, you know, Airborne.
Yeah.
See, it's funny because, you know, I criticize that and sort of make fun of it. But at the same time, you know, there's that that feature on Facebook with the it's like time hop. It's like your memories, right?
Yeah,
right.
It'll show you what happened a year ago, 2 years ago. And sometimes I look at that and I think, oh, thank God I saved that picture, or thank God I posted that thing because I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, as you get older, you're like, oh yeah, I forgot that happened.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and it, so part of me, I don't know. This is the thing, right? It's like a double-edged sword.
Yeah. I feel like stuff like sharing what movies I watch, I'm just trying to, like, you know, strike up a conversation sometimes of, oh yeah, I really like that, or I don't like that movie at all. And, you know, it turns into like private conversations with people more than anything. But I just, that's the only thing where I'm like, I don't mind sharing that.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, yeah, I'm watching Star Wars, you know, now the friend part of my internet knows that.
But it's a slippery slope. You know, one day you're posting that you're going to the movies, and next thing you know, here's my dinner. Yeah. And next thing you know, here's
been there, done that.
Yeah, see, there you go.
Curse you, Instagram.
All right, Chase, so where can people find you online and, like, you know, Comixology, things like that, obviously, for your books, but where would you like people to go to find you, interact with you, if so necessary?
Well, if you want to see what I ate today, go to Twitter, and I am at JTorresComics. If you want to see pictures of me at conventions, go to Facebook.com/JTorresComics, and that's really all. I mean, I have a website, JTorres.com, JTorresComics.com. Which I try to update, but that's about it. It's not, I'm not on Snapchat or whatever the kids are doing these days.
Yeah.
Jay, how old are you?
Old enough.
That's
old
rude,
enough?
Man. Rude.
That's not rude. We're all old at this point. No,
except for Haley. She's young.
I just always wonder if I'm the oldest one in the room.
I'm usually the oldest one in the room.
So, hey, do you have anything you want to say to Jay before you go? Before he goes? Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
If Great Tiger Ho didn't swallow the star, wouldn't, and Stan did, wouldn't he turn into the Phoenix?
If he hadn't swallowed the star and...
And who?
Stan, the chicken.
okay.
Oh, yeah.
Would Stan have turned into a Phoenix?
Wow, that is a good question. I never even thought about that.
Nice.
Because he looks like it.
He's a chicken.
Well, he's a bird. You know, the phoenix is a bird.
It's the evolution.
Yeah, but a bird, a phoenix flies. A chicken is ground bound.
Right. But a snake has no arms and a dragon does.
I guess. That's true.
Too, my youngest will tell you that chickens are descended from dinosaurs. So if he's going to evolve into anything, it'd probably be like a raptor.
There you go.
There you go.
Ooh, but if he did a T-Rex.
That's actually a pretty brilliant idea.
All right, when you said he would have turned into a raptor or a T-Rex, you should have seen the look on this little girl's face. Like, she loves dinosaurs.
Oh, you need to meet my son. You guys probably get along.
Probably would. So
yeah, he would. If he ate it, chances are he probably would have exploded because he's a little thing.
Yeah.
And that star has a lot of power. So he would have had a fried chicken.
Kentucky fried chicken.
That was a joke, Haley. We would never do that to
him. He would have turned into Pollo.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Too. Anyway. All right. Well, hey, Jay, thanks for coming back on. We love talking to you, and obviously you have an open door anytime you want to come back.
My pleasure, guys.
So, all right.
Bye.
Thanks, Jay.
Thank you, Johnny. Thank you, Haley. Thanks, Brian.
Yep. The Infamous Podcast is recorded just outside of Cincinnati, Ohio, in the infamous Nerd Den Studios thing, a.k.a. my house. You can find us online at infamouspodcast.com. We are also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as Infamous Podcast. And as always, if you have questions, suggestions, or around comments about the show, you can email us at contact@infamouspodcast.com. Johnny, where can they find you?
They can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Johnny Podorf.
And I'm Brian Tudor. I'm on most social networks as Brian Tudor. As always, new episodes every Friday. If you like what you hear, do us a favor and head on over to iTunes and drop us a 5-star review. It helps us get found by more people, and it'll help the show.
And do the other What? The other sites have that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Stitcher as well, and Google.
Yeah.
And I think we have a Patreon page. Is that right?
Yep. Patreon page, but I don't know the... What is it? Patreon.com/infamouspodcast?
There you go. And check it out. We have some pretty cool...
I may have just had an aneurysm.
Prizes to win. Johnny just got that. Anyway, whenever you're listening to us, have a great day, night,
wait a minute,
evening,
is that blood coming out of my
weekend,
nose?
Whatever it is. Any last words?
Nope.
Later.